Good morning.
Good morning.
Christ is risen.
Truly is risen.
Christos Anesti.
Christ is risen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This past Thursday evening, in the message that I had sent out to you, I had mentioned a circumstance that took place in the South in the days that preceded Pascha, concerning the conversion to the Orthodox Church of very well-noted and very well-known and popular evangelical author and radio figure, Hank Hanegraaff. He was chrismated at the Church of St. Nectarios in Charlotte, North Carolina, a beautiful church which has been a mission of evangelism and growth and popularity among people converting to the faith for several decades. Father Stephen Dauber, the pastor at St. Nectarios, is a person that I respect, for I was in school with him for a year. A very hardworking man. He had his family at school. He attended classes. He was ordained as a deacon, and he was working every night at UPS loading boxes to support his family while going to school. So this is a man who has worked very hard for very long in order to serve the Lord. And I had mentioned in that writing concerning the reaction that happened when Hank Hanegraaff took the name John, became an Orthodox Christian. I remember when a man by the name of Frank Schaeffer became Orthodox. This caused a lot of stir in the evangelical world because of his father's notoriety, the renowned Western leader, Francis Schaeffer. In a smaller kind of measurement on the Richter scale, when Clark Carlton, another Baptist professor and theologian, became Orthodox, the Western world kind of trembled a little bit as well. Now we're in an entirely different age when everyone has access to their computer, everyone is a reporter, everyone is a theologian, everyone's a pope in the world today, in the 33,000 denominations that make up Western Christianity. 33,000 and counting. So I had mentioned in my writing on Thursday that I was not going to mention some of the reactions specifically that came from Hank Hanegraaff. I wasn't going to leave it alone completely, though. I wanted to share some of that reaction with you today. Not to cause you a disturbance or to scandalize you or to make you feel even uncomfortable, because some of the things I'm going to say today is going to make you uncomfortable. Has anyone been reading about this little tit for tat? There you go. Mostly on the internet, Facebook, a lot of posts. A man by the name of Jeff Maples, who is a blogger with the site of Pulpit and Pen. People are calling him Bully Pulpit and Pen now. But Jeff Maples is a man who for many years has been quite critical of anything, I could say, of traditional, historic Christianity. He lumps Orthodoxy and Catholicism into one big ball of apostasy. I guess I'll put it that way. Really doesn't see any difference between these apostolic traditions. And Jeff Maples, this blogger, took it upon himself really to challenge what Hank Hanegraaff had done, because he was so shocked that a man of this stature, of this biblical knowledge, of this scriptural knowledge, would find himself enamored by the mysticism of the Eastern Orthodox Church. And so what he did is he kind of, and I'm going to put it very plainly, he kind of stalked the guy in a creepy kind of way. As Hank was chrismated on Palm Sunday, what this man and a few of his cohorts from his website did was to follow him to the resurrection service at St. Nectarios. Many of you, if not all of you, were at our resurrection service. It's quite beautiful. It's inspirational. It's completely scriptural. It's rooted in the history of our Lord and the commandments that He has given us in order to follow Him in a proper way. I'm going to share with you some of the observations that Jeff Maples made when he attended the resurrection service at St. Nectarios Greek Orthodox Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Of course, as I read these, could have been here, could have been at any church, Greek Orthodox Church, Russian Orthodox Church, Antiochian Orthodox Church, Serbian Church, wouldn't have mattered because his observations would have been the same. He said, "I've sat through many Catholic masses. In fact, I was married in a Catholic church, and I can definitively say that I've been there and I've done that. But I've never sat through anything so long and tedious as the Greek Orthodox Mass. Perhaps being a special Saturday night resurrection service, this wasn't the norm, but it was excruciatingly long, 2.5 hours in, and no sign of slowing down." So already someone is ready to be anxious about it. The cliche of bells and smells is actually a true reality in this so-called church. The burning of incense and the ringing of bells was a noxious combination. The liturgy was vain and repetitious. Literally, the same ritualistic prayer and chanting was sung over and over, and every prayer included an invocation of Mary and the saints. And while there was actually quite a bit of scripture reading, there was absolutely no teaching. In fact, the vast majority of scripture reading was sung in the eerie Byzantine chant. You really had to pay attention and try to listen really hard to even understand what they were reading or reciting. The facility was adorned literally wall to wall and floor to ceiling in graven images of the saints. These images were painted in such a way that their expressions on their faces were devoid of any emotion. They looked like lifeless figures just floating around in space. The enthusiasm of the clergy and participants in the service was extremely low. Those participating in the rituals walked around with lifeless expressions on their faces. The entire ritual was empty and dead. This is the resurrection, mind you. There is obviously little to no pursuit of holiness in this church. He went on to say in a couple different areas that Orthodox Christianity is no more than witchcraft and our rituals are no more than performing a séance. Now, once again, this is the opinion of one person in one tradition of over 33,000 Protestant denominations. So why am I spending time on the Sunday after Pascha reading in this church what one person has to say when he was tired and hungry and angry in an Orthodox church late at night down in North Carolina? Because it's critically important for us to understand, not so much at all what Jeff Maples thinks about Orthodox Christianity. I lived in Dallas, Texas for 8 years. If an evangelical mind is not ready to hear or to listen to what historic Christianity has to say, you're not going to get anywhere. Jesus did not debate people into the kingdom. He loved them into the kingdom. He welcomed them into the kingdom. He challenged them into the kingdom. But he didn't smack them to get in there. This is the way in which these kinds of people express their version of the gospel. It doesn't matter what he thinks, as I've said. What matters is what you know about your faith. When our children read such a website and have such a very different perspective of this church than what the church lifts up, or perhaps what we feel, we're going to be able to talk about it and to be able to defend it. Not that the church needs a defense, but can we articulate the basic problems with what this man has to say? It's not that it makes us feel uncomfortable because he doesn't like what we do. And the rituals don't make sense. And yes, the liturgy is long. And it's really long when it starts at 11 p.m., right? That's just the vigil. The resurrection starts at 12. Okay, that means the liturgy that night, that morning, and for us too, begins around what? 12:45 a.m. And it's long. And there is repetition that takes place. Jesus Christ spoke in repetitive ways so we could have it sink in the truth that he gives to us. My dearly beloved in the Lord, this is one guy. I never even would have known if the Bible answer man converted to orthodoxy had it not created such a stir in his own evangelical world, as it did when others who have taken their massive knowledge of Scripture and then found gaping holes in the creation of that Scripture, the delivering of that Scripture, the interpretation of the Scripture, and putting it to use as the church has done from her inception. There's a great chasm that exists between when we receive the canon of the New Testament, understanding its connection to the canon of the Old Testament Scriptures, and then putting that to a practical way of life in our daily walk and in spiritual discernment and in proper interpretation. So we don't have, again, tens of thousands of people claiming to have that understanding. The one true Catholic and Apostolic Church who gifted the world with the Scripture through the work of the Holy Spirit, still in existing today. The problem with the thought of someone like this Jeff Maples, who has such an ignorant understanding, not of orthodoxy, but of Christianity itself as a whole, from her beginnings, from her origins, from her growth through her life today, that he doesn't trust in Jesus Christ, who said to Peter that he would establish the church upon his faith and all the apostles, and nothing would prevail against his church, not even unto hell itself. So what that means is the church never disappeared and never went away. But some people in the world, in the Christian world today, still believe that the church fell into apostasy sometime in the second century, and it was rediscovered sometime in whoever figured out that they figured it out. It doesn't matter what this person or another person with similar opinions has. How well-versed are we in our faith? When they challenge and say, orthodoxy is nothing but a cult and apostasy, those are his words, not mine, because they don't trust in Jesus Christ, in his saving, redemptive act on the cross, because we need all this other stuff. This man-made, ridiculous stuff. Stuff that teaches. Stuff that guides. These images on the walls are nothing different than the words on the pages of Scripture. They teach. They're not worshipped. But we can't be offended when some guy with a blog and a pulpit and a voice doesn't like an incense burner and an icon, if we don't understand ourselves why the use of icons has been defended and lifted up through the centuries. And the practices of the church are there for specific reasons. We cannot be upset or offended and ignorant at the same time. We as a church have to understand who we are, who we worship, how we do it, why we do what we do. And that's not just my job to say, here it is in your pockets. We all have to read. We all have to pray. We all have to grow. We all have to understand. Again, I'll repeat what I just said. We cannot be offended by the words of such people if we are ignorant ourselves about our faith. We can't look at someone and say, hey, do your research, buddy. That's not what we believe. If we're not able to defend, at least in basic ways, who we are. I have to admit, as I read these words and others by him and by the people that support his position, it was a challenge. Not to what I believe, not to the authenticity of the church, not to what it means to be involved in holiness and sacredness and tradition and history and a timeline unbroken from Christ to today. Today is the Sunday of St. Thomas. Today we think about doubt, but we celebrate affirmation. Today we contemplate the reality of someone who may not understand all of our teachings, all of the Bible, all of our tradition, all of the liturgy, and no matter what language. St. Ignatius does everything nearly in English as we do. So it's not that he didn't understand the words. But understanding the origin of the words, the meanings of the words, and the source of the words. Today we celebrate the affirmation and witness of Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our God, as St. Thomas expresses. Let us have a clear knowledge of our Lord and our God. His saving work, His established body, His church, His bride, His children. Amen.